This is HPR episode 2780 entitled, My SBC Next Cloud Install PT. 1. Hardware. It is hosted by First Time Post Minix, and is about 23 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, how I built myself enclosed Next Cloud server using a single board computer and a RAID enclosure.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Danny, also known as Minix, and some circles, message boards, things like that. I wanted to give an overview of my Nextcloud installation and why I chose it and the particular hardware I'm using and things like that. Most of my photos and videos and documents I've stored on the Google Cloud, and I haven't really had any issues with it. And then one day I got the news that Google Plus was going away, and I was a pretty heavy user of Google Plus. I found it a lot better than Facebook, especially for technology related posts and keeping up with friends that were in, you know, those same kinds of technology-minded circles that I'm in. And it was a nice platform for sharing things. I felt you could really narrow down exactly who you wanted to share with. And the communities on there were really great. And I felt the place was, as a whole, was a lot less free of drama and less toxic than places like Facebook and Twitter. So when I found out they were going away, I thought, well, what could be the next service that Google gets rid of? I remember I had a Google Listen account, which was like their podcast app, and it was great. It was really simple, and they got rid of that. And, you know, through the years, they've gotten rid of some of their projects that were, I thought, were really handy. And my mind kind of wandered on to, well, what if they get rid of Google Photos, or what if they get rid of video storage and things like that? So I started thinking of an alternative to Google for my storage needs. And then while I was thinking about that, I got an email that because of the amount of data I was using in storage, I was going to have to start paying for it. And if there's one way to turn someone off to your service is all of a sudden what was free is now you're having to pay for it. And I understand why, because I was using so much data, but that was kind of the second reason why I kind of turned towards maybe hosting my own data. And then I thought of other things like privacy issues. You know, I'm not really in control of my data. Google's in control of it, and one day if they get rid of all the services that I'm using, then I just lose everything. Not only that, but you have no idea how your data is being used, if it's used to, you know, advertise towards you like their Gmail application does, and how they're actually sharing that data with other companies, you know. So you never know what they're doing with your data when you're using a online storage service that you're not in control of. So then I thought, well, I need to figure this out. What would be the best way to do this if I wanted to have all my own data totally under my control and wouldn't have to pay for storage, you know, except for the, you know, the onset of paying for the components. And doing some research, I found OwnCloud, which I had used in the past and kind of experimented with on an old Model 1, original Model B plus, I believe, Raspberry Pi. And it was super slow at the time, and it was very frustrating to use. And so I looked into OwnCloud alternatives, and I saw a bunch of them out there, but I eventually settled on Nextcloud. It seemed like it had the most momentum going for it, and as far as being updated regularly and a lot of community support. And I thought, okay, well, why don't we try Nextcloud? And then I had to think of what do I want to host this Nextcloud service on? And I had an old PC I wasn't using, but it's an old Pentium, and not only is it not the fastest, but it's pretty energy hungry too, and it's not exactly dependable just because of its age. So I didn't want to do something on a tower system like that. I want it to be low power, and I want it to be small. That way I could just fit it, you know, in my entertainment center or just somewhere out of the way. And I didn't want it to be too costly either. And so I started looking at ARM configurations. And I ran across people using Raspberry Pis for Nextcloud and other single board computers like that. And then I found a company called Pine 64 that made single board computer, ARM-based computers, and they had a Rock Pro 64 that seemed perfect for my use case. And it's a 64-bit ARM single board computer, and it has 4 gigabytes of RAM, which is I was always also looking for something that had a decent amount of RAM. And it has an eMMC module to store your operating system or whatever else you want to on it, on the board itself. And using Raspberry Pis in the past, I wasn't impressed with the throughput I got on USB sticks and SD cards and things like that. And so I wanted to use the eMMC as well. So I kind of settled on the Rock Pro 64 and an eMMC module. And then I got a few of the accessories to go with it. They have I bought all this from Pine 64. They have a USB adapter that you just put your eMMC module on and plug it into your laptop or computer or whatever to image your OS onto the eMMC module. And that was super cheap. I can't remember exactly how, just a few dollars basically for the adapter. And the module itself was like $10, maybe $15. It was a 16 gigabyte module. So that would be kind of like my internal OS hard drive, basically, except it's, you know, flash storage. And I bought a heat sink for it, for the main processor, which is an RK3399 made by Rockchip. And it's one of the more powerful ARM processors for single board computers that's out there. And I needed a power supply. I got that. I think that was about $13. So I had all the components I needed to build the board itself. And now I just needed a way to house it. And looking through all my electronic crap, I have a huge pile of just, you know, stuff I've stripped off computers in the past and components and things that I bought but didn't really have a use for. And I found an old MediaSonic, it was a 4-bay external drive, or, you know, external, what would you call it? It's like a enclosure. It's a plastic enclosure. It holds 4 bays. What was great about this thing, I got it from Micro Center. I'm lucky enough to have a Micro Center just down the street from me. I got it from them on a Black Friday sale, and it was marked down to like $50. I think it was originally $150, something like that. And I had never really found a good use case for it. But what's so good about it is it has, you know, hardware RAID built in. So the RAID controller is actually part of the enclosure. So that offloads, you know, building your RAID or maintaining the RAID from your computer's processor to the enclosure itself. And I had Kind of played with it in the past, but I never really found a good use case scenario for it. And I had kind of data all over different hard drives scattered around my workshop and stuff. So I thought, well, you know what? If that board fits into this enclosure, that would be perfect because I could have the board and the storage all in one little configuration, and I wouldn't have to buy a separate enclosure just for the Rock Pro 64. And so I measured the inside of the MediaSonic enclosure and found that it matched up really well with the specs they had for the Rock Pro 64, that it would fit inside there. But the caveat would be I could only use two drives in the four bay enclosure in order to have room for the single board computer to fit in the bottom. And that wasn't a big deal because I wasn't really using it for anything in the first place. So I went ahead and ordered the single board computer, and when I dug out the old enclosure, I opened the front panel and put the Rock 64 in there, Rock Pro 64, and it fit perfectly. Right in the bottom, it would fit, and I could close the bay door and everything. So this seemed like a pretty good solution. The only thing is that I needed a way to access the power port. It uses a barrel connector on one side of the board, and also the USB on the outside of the board too. And once the bay door was closed on the enclosure, I didn't have any way to get to it. So I thought about just opening up the enclosure itself, which was kind of difficult because it's a solid molded plastic piece, and trying to get to the guts of the RAID controller and the standoffs that they use for the USB connection, and then solder that directly to the board itself. And I thought that would be a good solution, but then I had the power connector to worry about too. And what was I going to do with that? I didn't really want to tie it in onto to the power of the enclosure because I didn't think it would be powerful enough to power the computer as well as the enclosure itself. So what I ended up doing is on the back of the enclosure, on the bottom right-hand side, I used my Dremel and I made a small hole that was just big enough to fit the cables for the USB cable and the power supply connection into that hole. I made it pretty round, and then I went to the hardware store and I found a rubber grommet to put it, a rubber grommet with a hole in the middle to put into that hole so that the plastic wouldn't scrape against the cables or anything. And it came out really nice. You can't even tell that I modified it that way. It just looks like it has a factory hole in the back for some weird reason. So that worked out pretty well. So another thing I needed to think of is how would I mount this to the bottom of the MediaSonic enclosure. And the way I did this is, luckily on the board, there's four holes drilled in the corners of the board already, and I had some rubber standoffs, just little square pieces of rubber from another project I was working on. It was an old external hard drive that crapped out on me, and but I stripped it down. I kept the parts, and it had some rubber standoffs, and so I took some tiny screws, and I put them through the holes on the board, and then on the bottom of the screw, I put the rubber standoff. So I just screwed the screw right through the rubber standoff, and then on the bottom of the rubber standoff, I used some Gorilla Glue and just glued that to the bottom of the enclosure. So the board itself is lifted off the bottom of the enclosure, to provide some ventilation for heat and stuff like that. And it worked out really well. Now there is a USB cable connection in the front of the board that faces the front of the enclosure. And because of space limitations, I couldn't connect a USB cable to that and still be able to close the bay door. So I looked around for a solution for that, and I found on Amazon they sell a right angle USB cable, and it's really small and it angles up instead of 180 degrees, it's a 90 degree angle. So I can plug it into there, and then the cable comes straight up above the board, and then I can run it towards the back through that hole and still be able to close that bay door. And that all worked out really well. It took a little bit of modification as far as the enclosure went, and I was able to mount the board to the bottom of the enclosure and run all the cables out through that small hole. And the great thing about this enclosure is that it had its own fan too, and you could set it to automatic. It had a temperature sensor in there, and it would just turn on and off depending on when it needed it. Running some stress tests on the board, I could hear the fan itself turn on and off, which is weird because I would think that they would use the temperature sensors on the hard drives themselves to regulate the fan, but somehow it knows how hot it is inside that enclosure, I guess. And when that board starts heating up, the fan cuts on. Or you can just turn it on all the time. You don't have to use the automatic fan controller. Just leave it on. But even when it's on, it's very quiet. And so I had the enclosure part ready, and I had the board set in there. And then I had loaded the OS to the EMMC module. And now I needed some hard drives, and I've got a ton of hard drives laying around. So I tried different ones, and I was having problems getting the OS to recognize that it is a single hard, because the output coming from the RAID enclosure makes it seem like to the OS that it's just one single hard drive, right? Because the RAID enclosure itself does all the RAID applications as far as building and maintaining the array. And what I figured out in the end is that if you don't have the same kind of hard drive as far as the same brand and the same model number and things, it really gets tricky trying to set up a RAID, especially when I was setting up a RAID 1 configuration. So I didn't really need speed, I just needed redundancy, and that was it. And if for some reason, if those hard drives don't match, sometimes things go wrong, and it just, the output that it sends to the board is weird and garbled. But if I'm using the same hard drives, the same model, the same size, all that, then I had zero issues. So that took a few hours to figure that out, swapping hard drives in and out. But once I got the same ones in there, I used 2 4-terabyte Samsung hard drives in there, and so that gave me effectively 4 terabytes of space in RAID 1 configuration. But once I got that figured out, everything seemed to run pretty smoothly. And as far as the board itself, I didn't have any issues with that either. The power supply and the USB cable, all that ran out the back through the hole. And also I ordered a heatsink from Pine64 as well, that I was able to put onto the board. Now the board itself will go in fine, but the board with the heatsink would not go in because there are metal rails that the hard drives sit on inside the enclosure itself. And so the board with the heatsink was too tall to go through those metal rails. So it was a little bit tricky. I had to put the board in and then, you know, glue it to the bottom of the enclosure. And then I had to, you know, angle the heatsink into there after I had already installed the board through the spaces between the hard drive rails, and put the heatsink very carefully onto the CPU on the board, because I had a little, I don't ever use those thermal pads, they give you their crap. So I had some good thermal paste on that CPU, and I put the heatsink on there and angled it just right so that the drop of thermal paste would spread evenly. And then I had to The heatsink has the plastic punches that go through the holes in the board where you push down and then it locks, and I had to make sure all that was right. And I didn't have hardly any space to work with, so it was a little bit frustrating, but I finally got it all going. And so I had it all built with the Rock Pro 64, the 16 gigabyte eMMC module, and the heatsink on top of the ARM processor. And then I had the right angle USB cable that ran from the front of the board up and over the board into the back. And then I had the power supply running through the back as well. So I really wanted to use eSATA with this board, since the enclosure has an eSATA connection on the back. But the board itself doesn't have an eSATA connection. It has a PCIe slot so that you could put in a PCIe board with an eSATA connection on there, but I just didn't have the room within the enclosure to add that. Now, if something changes and I can find a way, or I find a special PCIe board that I can put into that slot, and then I may change it to eSATA, but all the ones I looked for were just too big to be able to fit that board in there, as well as the two hard drives. So I had to go ahead with USB 3, which is not a big deal, but I would have preferred the eSATA connection. So I have now I have a tiny server, and it's got a nice little single board computer inside the enclosure itself, also with two 4 terabyte hard drives, and it's all headless. I don't have a desktop or anything like that running it. But I thought, since this is kind of a lot of info, I'd go into my software setup and installation on how I got Nextcloud actually running on this thing. And in the next podcast that I make for HPR. So anyway, that's kind of it. In the show notes, I'll put everything I used to get this little project running. And then if you're interested, you can I'm just going to put some random Amazon links in there. They're not sponsored or anything, so feel free to go to them. But I'll put that in the show notes. And then if you like it, this idea, then feel free to build your own. And you can usually find me on Google Plus or places like that too, if you got any questions of how this was set up, or if you're having any issues. And so that's pretty much it on how I built my little totally enclosed Nextcloud server. And it runs really well. I haven't had any major issues except in the beginning, just setting up things. But it's very fast, and it's all under my control. I'm the only admin on the system, so I don't have to worry about privacy or anything like that, like I do with using Google's services or any other online storage services. And so next time I'll explain the software installation. And then I'm thinking about doing a third part as well, where I'll explain how I did an off-site backup of my Nextcloud installation, just in case, even though I have redundancy, what if somebody comes in and steals my computer or something, or could be an accident, fire, anything like that, and then I lose all my data. So I made an offsite backup for this too, and I'll save that for a future episode. So this is Minix signing out, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.